Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And James Taylor will join us in just a moment from the Surf Coast Times newspaper. I'm just seeing on the SBS website, they're talking about a Melbourne schoolboy who is believed to be the first Australian denied a US visa. But in our news service at 10 o'clock, it said that Malcolm Turnbull had established that people with Australian dual citizenship wouldn't be denied a visa. So something's not quite right there. We'll have to have a look into that. But now it's good morning to James Taylor, senior journalist at the Surf Coast Times. How are you, James?
Good morning, Mitchell. How's it going?
Very well indeed. Now, the front cover of your publication was, I believe, about the Cadell Evans Road race, and a lot of people are saying it was a success.
Absolutely, yeah. I covered the event both in Torquay and down by the Geelong Waterfront on Sunday, and there were big crowds in both locations, lining the Esplanade, I guess, for the first of the sprints, and then down the waterfront for the three laps, and then the exciting finisher came right down the line, really.
And a lot of people are talking about the big crowds that turned out. It was quite an impressive figure in the end, I think. It's very hard to establish what the total amount was, but a lot of people said that there was generally a lot of interest in the race.
Absolutely, and I think the weather really, really turned it on this time. I mean, I know the first couple of years, they've had sort of middling to average weather, which I guess keeps the crowds away because it's another grey day down the coast, and I guess there are other places to go. But when the sun is shining and it's blue sky everywhere you can see why lots of people want to turn out and cheer on the international cyclists, and some of the Australians too, who actually did quite well in the end. I think Australian cyclists took our positions 2 and 3 in the elite men's race in the end. I think a good result all round.
Now, Malcolm Turnbull came down to the Surf Coast and he was talking about funding for a Surf Life Saving Club and other issues. Tell us about that.
Yes, he did. That was kind of a surprise, and that was a kind of surprise notification. We found out about that very late the day before, and the event was upgraded from a friendly nippers carnival between the Torquay and Jandakot Surf Life Saving Club at the Jandakot Surf Life Saving Clubhouse to a surprise visit by the Prime Minister. So that kind of threw us into a bit overdrive here. And so the Prime Minister didn't make any funding announcements other than confirming the $2 million that Sarah Henderson committed at before the previous resolution. But he certainly spoke very warmly about the surf life-saving movement in general and expressed general admiration for the architectural designs for the $5 million redevelopment that Jandakot SLSC has planned anyway. So I guess if you want a high-profile supporter in your corner, the Prime Minister isn't a bad one to have.
Absolutely. Now, I was talking to someone else about this, and they said they wonder how many other electorates like Corangamite Malcolm Turnbull visits. I mean, he does seem to come down to Corangamite on a semi-regular basis, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, Sarah Henderson has mentioned, and Malcolm Turnbull has mentioned himself when he's been in the electorate, that Sarah Henderson is, it varies between one of the most efficient, one of the most annoying, one of the most stubborn, one of the most hardworking, and one of the most persistent, anyway, members of Parliament. So she's certainly got a very loud voice inside the party room. Maybe that's how she's getting the Prime Minister and members of Cabinet to come down and take a look at the issues that she feels are important to people in this electorate. Because it seems to be working. The Prime Minister has been here, I've lost count of how many times he's been here, but it's been probably half a dozen times since he's been Prime Minister, and no doubt he'll be here again before the year is out.
Yeah, I was talking to a staffer who currently works within the government, and they said among ministers, Sarah Henderson has a particular reputation as not letting an issue go. She will fight and fight and fight and fight.
Yeah. That's probably her journalism training kicking in, you know, because obviously she was a journalist for the ABC before she went into federal politics, and so she probably has one of those people that when she's got an issue between her teeth, she doesn't want to let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I saw in your paper as well that the Corangamite Catchment Authority is giving out some grants potentially to people. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a good one. They've got a coastal small grants program, which is something that's always well subscribed every year for those hardworking organisations along the Great Ocean Road and sort of elsewhere down the coast that really do a lot of work and just need a little bit of help to help them get over the line with some funding for some equipment or seeds or whatever it is. The Surfers Appreciating the Natural Environment are one that have really benefited from these Corangamite CCMA grants in the past, and they've done some great work, especially near Bells Beach. Sane have really done great work in preserving Bells Beach to how it was, I guess, 60 years ago and probably 60 years before that, and really keeping the natural plants there and keeping the weeds as far away from it as possible.
What do you think about this grants model about trying to engage, I suppose, local people to come in and offer solutions to problems?
Yeah, I actually personally think it's a very good idea because it's the people on the ground that have the best solutions to these things, especially when it comes to the environmental stuff. You have these hardworking people who have been working on this stuff quietly on their own in volunteer groups for years. So the best thing for sort of state and federal funding bodies to do is to come in, is not to come in over the top and take away hands-on stuff and come in and say, oh, this is how we do it because we have federal standards, blah, blah, blah. It's to support them with a little bit of funding, a little bit of equipment, a little bit of sort of pointing them in the right direction in terms of how they can get some more funding, and then essentially let the people who have been doing a good job for so many years get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's right, that these local groups, they get passionate about, you know, a few issues, and they have a lot of very good solutions and a good idea if people would only just listen. So it's good to see that they're getting the opportunity to have their voices heard. The Janjuk Village, now this is, I think, something that a few traders are pushing to have a name change. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. This is something, I guess it's almost a formality, but I guess the Surf Rishai has to go through the process of publicly exhibiting that they want to change the name of the shops to Janjuk Village. These are the shops on Stewart Avenue off, I think it's Sunset Boulevard. There's a few shops in there. The Beach Hotel is one of them, I think. Bird Rock Cafe is another of the shops that are in there. They've essentially got together and said, well, we'd like to be called Janjuk Village because there are lots of other villages around the Surf Coast Shire, so we'd like to be one of them. And also, so there's some consistency in terms of if there's ever an emergency, that when we say there's a fire or something, for example, and the Janjuk Village, people know exactly where they're coming, as opposed to coming to, I think that at the moment, it's listed as Stewart Reserve, and if you're asking them where the hell is Stewart Reserve, well, that's on Stewart Avenue. But if you call it Janjuk Village and you register that with Vic Names and also with Vic Map, which I take as are the state government organisations in terms of geospatial data and making sure all the names are right on the map, then everyone knows where to go.
Yeah, there's quite a few processes involved. I suppose we don't realise it until you have to go through something like this.
Yeah, it seems simple, but obviously there's various things that have to be gone through and boxes that need to be ticked and everyone that needs to be consulted. So when you're officially changing your name from one thing to another thing, that everyone's notified and everyone's on the same page.
Absolutely. And what else is happening down there on the Surf Coast?
Yeah, obviously Segor was the big one for us, and we'll have fairly extensive coverage of that on our sports pages. One of the interesting ones that I saw out of the council meeting of last week, which I'll be right about this week, is the Surf Coast Shire's strategic fire management plan, which is kind of an overview of all of the agencies working together to plan what they will do and how they will respond in terms of the next time there is sort of a major bushfire coming through. They've got a really interesting case study in there about how the fire swept through Wye River and Separation Creek, and not so much how it could have been stopped, but how the fire took hold in Wye River and Separation Creek and how it sort of burned out from there. Really interesting reading in terms of all of the fuel that was available in the town, and not so much houses catching on fire themselves from the fire front, but from embers that have been thrown ahead of the fire by the high wind. So really interesting reading in there.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Well, thank you very much for being with us. We are hoping to get back down to Torquay to have one of these conversations face-to-face probably next month. But thank you so much for all of the insights and for keeping us up to speed with what's happening on the Surf Coast.
Thanks, Mitchell. See you soon.
My pleasure. James Taylor there from the Surf Coast Times newspaper, a fantastic publication, and they really do a good job at keeping people up to speed with everything happening on the Surf Coast. It's 20 minutes to 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Greg McHenry will be on with Roads to Recovery. That'll take you through until midday, and then Robert Eagles will be in with his lunchtime program from 12 until 1 o'clock.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.